table. Its pages are worn and hard to read, but that family Bible on the table will always be my key to memory.
I can see us sitting around the table.
Another Today's Health Update. Roy Williams here, the guru of good health, the superintendent of supplementation. And, you know, we've been working our way through on Monday schools, and that's what this is called, is Monday school. I teach the Word of God chapter by chapter, verse by verse every Monday. I always put God first in my life. As a result of that, my life has changed in so many ways. I can't even express them all. It just seems to, it's like God's put his thumbprint on me. Well, he has. It's called the Word of God. And he told us throughout the Bible, when we live according to his word, things will go well for us. But when we don't, things don't go too well. Now, people think, well, so he does bad things to us if we don't listen to his word? No, not at all. He just gave us an instruction manual. And he said, if you follow these in these flesh bodies that you're in right now, life will be good because you're going according to the way I built things, the way nature is set up. However, if you want to go against nature and against his will, go ahead. He loves you so much, he's going to let you make your own decisions. But he also warned you that you will reap the benefits, or you will reap the opposite of rewards by doing your own thing. In my life, I don't know about y'all, but every time I do it my way, it seems to mess up. But when I start doing things God's way, life is good. And I want your life to be good. So we're in the book of Proverbs. We're going to end it this week. We're going to finally get through the whole book of Proverbs. I hope you've gained some wisdom. That's what Proverbs is wisdom. Little cliches and short phrases that can change your life. And as you go through this, I hope you found out that, yes, you can see what that, you know, those things happen in your life. You know, have a better way of handling it now. So we'll start with Proverbs chapter 30. We ended with verse 28 last week, so we're going to pick up with 29. And we're going to finish this up, okay? So let's roll right into it. And remember, there's going to be a book out called Start With Wisdom soon. I say soon, probably in 4 to 6 months. And you'll be able to get a copy of it if you'd like it. We'll be letting you know when that's available. Verse 29, Proverbs chapter 30 says, there be three things which go well, yea, four are comely and going. Modern English would say there are three things that get around very well. Yes, four are confident as they move about. What are those four things? Verse 30, a lion which is strongest among beasts and turneth not away from any. Modern English, that would read you would read it this way, the lion which is mighty among animals and will stand up to all. You know, I've seen movies and things, and we're out in Africa, and the lions, they don't turn down nothing. They'll face even an elephant. They're very powerful things. The second thing is a greyhound and an he-goat also. That's the second and the third thing. And a king, that's the fourth thing, against whom there is no rising up. So these will finish out the four things. What are they in modern English? A strutting horse, we would say. A ram also, and a leader that no one dares to challenge. You know, we've about reached that point in our nation today where there's a leader that no one dares to challenge. Those that do challenge are getting smacked around pretty hard. And that's because they've gone against God. And when you go against God, nature itself turns against you. And the last verse in chapter 32 says, if thou have done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth. Let me read that in modern English. I think you'll appreciate it more. If you've thought too highly of yourself, in other words, you're full of pride, or if you have plotted harm, keep your mouth shut. That's basically what that's telling us. 33, the last verse in chapter 30. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood, so the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. That's pretty easy to understand, but modern English, I wrote it this way. As sure as churning milk creates butter and squeezing the nose causes it to bleed, provoking anger will create confrontation. It's pretty easy to understand, like I say. Verse 1, chapter 31, you're going to love this chapter. It was written by a man to women, but I'm gonna tell you something. It's about a spouse. Okay, so as we go through this, I rewrite it so it applies both ways. You know, back in the days they wrote the Bible, things leaned highly toward men and not so highly toward women. But I'm telling you, the world has changed. And in today's world, I think this is going to make a lot more sense. Proverbs 31:1, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. It's real simple, modern English, the words of King Lemuel, the prophetic utterance that his mother taught him. These are prophecies, they're prophetic statements that will be fulfilled in most people's lives. Verse 2, King James Version, what, my son? It's a question. And what the son of my womb? Another question. And what the son of my vows? So three questions here. Modern English, listen, my son of my womb, son of my vows. Verse 3, King James Version. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Now remember, I'm telling you, in most cases, gender's not important here. So I'm going to do it this way. Do not trade your capabilities for whores. You know, there's male whores and women whores, okay? I hate to be that blunt but on this station, but I've got to be because it's just the Word of God. If you don't like it, take it up with God. So don't trade your capabilities for whores, nor your way of life, that of which ruins kings. That's what he's trying to get across to us here. Verse 4. Now, you know, you don't need to be involved with loose people, people who have no moral character, people who will trade their bodies for a meal. What is wrong with people today? They're giving up themselves and the most intimate part of themselves to just anybody that comes along? That's disgusting. That's the way I see it. Verse 4. It's not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Modern English. It's not for leaders, especially lawmakers, to drink strong drink. Verse 5. Lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. In other words, leaders shouldn't be involved in strong drink too much. Modern English should read it this way. Strong drink is talking what it's talking about. It can cause them to forget their duties and judge the poor unfairly. You want to make the public mad, you unfairly judge the poor. And boy, they're doing that in today's society. Verse 6, Proverbs, King James Version. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. You know, I was raised in church, and they told us you should never drink. Alcohol should never be used. Every time they talked about wine in the Bible, it was unfermented. That's not true. That's just not true. I mean, when Jesus turned water into wine at the party, they were drunk. But you need to be careful how you use strong drink. That's what this is telling us. Modern English, give fermented beverages to those who are ready for destruction and wine to those with bitterness of soul. Are there times when you should have strong drink? There's times when it's okay. That's what it's saying. Verse 7, let him drink and forget his poverty. Who? Those who are stressed out, those who are bitter, those who are bent for destruction. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more, is what it says in King James Version. So in other words, allow them to become drunk and forget about their troubles and no longer remember their misery. That's when you use strong drink. Please don't get caught up in strong drink, ladies and gentlemen. It can ruin lives, and especially leaders should not be doing it way too often as they do sometimes. Verse 8. Open thy mouth for the dumb and the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. What it's telling us here is to speak up for those who are unable to speak for themselves. Defend all that are helpless and headed for destruction. If leaders would take these words into consideration, they'd be great leaders. That's what it's telling us here. Verse 9, King James Version. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Now remember, we're talking to leaders, to those in judgment, those who are in judicial places. Modern English, that would read, speak out, judge righteously, and defend the cause of the oppressed and less fortunate. You want to be a great leader? Do those things. Verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? You see, the subject shifts here now to marriage, okay? Who can find a virtuous woman? For the price is far above rubies. Their price. A spouse that you can trust, a virtuous spouse, is far above rubies. So let's read it this way. Who can encounter a capable spouse? Yes, their value is much higher than precious gems. Verse 11, King James Version. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Who's that? A virtuous woman, or we could say a virtuous husband. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. Let's read that in modern English, easier to understand. The mind of their spouse can trust in them. Okay, in their own head, they know they can trust this person they married, so that they can have no worries of waste. You know, a frugal person, you won't waste things. You'll be very careful how you act and what you spend and what you purchase. Verse 12, King James Version. She will do him good and no evil in all the days of her life. Now remember, this goes both ways. No gender intended here in mind. Modern English, it would read this way. They will do their spouse good instead of harm throughout their lives. Verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Now again, remember, this was the mother speaking to the king, telling him what kind of woman he should look for, but it goes both ways, all right? Modern English, it would read this way. The spouse will get involved in worthwhile projects and use their skills. You know, God gives all of us skills and gifts, and we need to use them, but make sure you're with someone whom you can trust, someone who has good moral character, someone who has good judgment. Verse 14, she is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. Modern English, they are like ships, talking about a good spouse, bringing goods from many sources. 15, it continues about a good spouse. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. All right? Then modern English, so you'll understand it the way we live today. A good spouse gets up early. They get up early to provide food for their family and help younger families just starting a household. 16. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. Modern English. This good spouse we're talking about, male or female, good spouse. All right, and listen, I don't approve of same-sex marriage. Don't think I'm throwing that in there at all. That's not biblical. It's against. As a matter of fact, God called it an abomination. If you don't like it, take it up with God. It ain't me saying that. It's God saying that. Verse 16, modern English. They consider the value of a parcel of land and then purchase it. By the labor of their hands, they make more progress. A good spouse will do those kinds of things. They're very intelligent. They make good decisions. 17. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Modern English, in other words, they wear appropriate clothing, work hard, and improve their skills. That's what that means. You want to get right down to the nitty-gritty. That's what it means. Verse 18, King James Version. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Now, that would have made a lot of sense back in the day that this was written in from Hebrew into the King James Version, but today you need to read it this way. They perceive that what they have to offer has value, either spouse, goes both directions. They can be counted on to help at any hour, no matter how late it is at night. If you need them, they're there for you. 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. Now, spindles and distaffs, those are things that were used back then to make clothing. So let's read that in modern English and sort of apply to us. They utilize their skills in many ways and are always using their gifts. What gifts? The gifts God gave them. Verse 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Let's read that in modern English. They reach out to the less fortunate. Yes, even to those that don't deserve it. That's what they do sometimes. You got to use good judgment, but there are times when you want to help the oppressed and those that are less fortunate. 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. In other words, a good spouse, they do not fear bad weather because their family are dressed in fine clothing. Clothing that's built for the weather, that's built to take it. 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Modern English, they make themselves coverings. Their clothing is made from the finest materials. 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. And remember, this can go either way, husbands or wives. So let's read it this way. Their name is well known in the city, both the husband and the wife, where they do business with the dignitaries of the town. In other words, the dignitaries of the town, they're recognized by the dignitaries, by the people. Why are they recognized? Because they know they can trust them. The town knows they can trust them. They know that they're going to do honest things and that they're going to treat people fairly and they're going to make good judgment. 24. King James Version, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Modern English, they make fine products, then sells them and deliver necessities to the merchants. That's what a girdle is. It was a necessity back in that day. Today, it's not so much the thing, okay? So you have to write it in modern English so we understand it today. 31:25. Chapter 31, verse 25, King James Version. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Modern English, power and splendor make up their appearance, and they will enjoy life as they age. See, it goes all the way through. When you got a good spouse, you'll grow old together, and you will compliment one another and build each other up. That's what we do as good spouses. 26, King James Version, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. You got to really think about this one in modern English. What that's saying is the words they speak are wise, and their teachings are from the books of Moses. That's what they were talking about back in that day, because that was the law. 27. She looketh well to the ways of her husband and eateth not the bread of idleness. Modern English. They watch over their household, man and wife, and they will find no laziness in them. 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Now this is how a husband ought to treat a wife and a wife ought to treat a husband. Okay, so in modern English it says, their offspring, their children, stand up and speak well of them. Do your children speak well of you? If they don't, maybe there's a reason why. Or you could have a bad child. That does happen every now and then. Let me read that in modern English again. Their offspring stand up and speak well of them. These are good spouses. They're good to each other, but they're also good husbands and good wives. In other words, good parents when you're talking about the offspring. So their offspring stand up and speak well of them, their parents. They support each other. The man and the wife support each other and embellish one another. That's what that's telling us in verse 28. Verse 29, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Okay, that's a very powerful statement. Let's read it in modern English because it goes both ways, as I said. Many spouses are worthy, but the two of you rise above them all. When you get the right spouse, you are so blessed. And it tells you that in the Bible. It tells you that many times. Verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a wife that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Let that sink in, folks. I'm going to read that in modern English. Charm can be deceitful. I'm talking about husband or wife now, okay? Charm can be deceitful, and looks can be meaningless, but a spouse that has reverence, love for God, shall be glorified. Do you want to be praised? Do you want to be glorified? Put God first in your life. Raise children in a Christian household. If you go through the Bible and read it, tell me what you find it's wrong with it. I mean, when you look at the whole picture and understand the Word of God, it makes more sense than anything you could do. Nothing they're teaching in school, nothing they're teaching in psychology classes even scratches the surface of what you learn from God's Word. What is the beginning of wisdom? Reverence for the Lord. So I'm going to read that one again, modern English. Charm can be deceitful and looks can be meaningless, but a spouse that has reverence or love for God shall be glorified. And you know what's important about that statement is, who do you want to find you in good standing? The Creator. You want God to find you in good standing. How you treat your spouse will determine whether or not you're going to be in good standing. So let's remember, this is to both husbands and wives, okay? 31:31. This is the last verse in the great book of Proverbs, chapter 31, verse 31. King James Version says, give her of the fruit of her hands, talking about all these spouses that and what all they've done. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own words praise her in the gates. Now, the gates kind of throws people off because it meant something different back then. So I'm going to read it for you to understand it in modern English. Talking about a good spouse now, whichever way it goes. Give them the produce of their labor and allow their accomplishments. Glorify them in all of society. That's what you want. You see, when we turn this book out called Start With Wisdom, people who choose to read it really are going to be people that have a desire to fully understand what the Word of God says. You may have been one of those who understands that Satan and his offspring, the Kenites, have infiltrated and tried to destroy the true bloodline of Jesus Christ and twist the Word of God since the Garden of Eden. As a matter of fact, I can show you in the Old Testament Chronicles where they had already, the Jewish leadership had already allowed the Kenites, this is the offspring of Satan, Cain's offspring, in other words. Cain was Satan's offspring, and then his genealogy was given, and they had already rooted themselves into being to doing the what the Jews thought they were too good to do anymore. So they let them get in to be involved, and let's say it was cutting firewood at first. Before you know it, they had done a good job and worked their way into doing a more important task, and they finally got involved in even the interpretation of God's words. You got to be careful. They get involved in everything. What is their duty to Satan? Their duty to Satan is to try to destroy the Word of God. And their ultimate goal before Jesus was born was to try to destroy that bloodline so that Christ couldn't come and destroy death. What is death? Satan. That's one of his names. He's got a lot of names. You'll learn those when you keep studying the Word of God with me. You're going to learn what the Bible really means. Not the traditions of man, okay? So speaking of the Kenites, they have tried to destroy everything God wants for his children, beginning with the pure bloodline of Christ when Satan wholly seduced Eve, resulting in the birth of Cain, the son of Satan, the first murderer. Jesus himself even said to the Pharisees and Sadducees, which, by the way, were Kenites, okay, they'd weaseled their way into the lawmakers and lawgiving, and what happened? Well, it's a long story, but they're involved in things they shouldn't be involved with. You see, the earth was created for the habitation of God's children. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. According to the King James, verse 2 reads, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, in Hebrew manuscripts, it reads, and the earth became without form and void. You see, God didn't create it uninhabitable. It became uninhabitable due to Satan and those that chose to follow him. Get ready for my book. It'll be out soon, and you'll understand more even than you probably want to know about the three earth ages. But until you fully understand the three earth ages, which I'll be getting into more as we go through the Bible, a lot of the Bible won't make a lick of sense to you. But it's going to clear up. I'm going to make sure that it does that. That's what God has asked me to do. And you say, well, how did God ask you to do it? Well, I read his word, and he said somebody needs to break this down so that people that don't understand it can understand it better. So I want to thank all of you for listening to today's Health Update and for especially listening to Monday School. I hope you understand Proverbs a lot better now, and I'll be referring back to it often as I go through the studies. We're going to begin in First and Second Thessalonians next. That's where I'll be teaching from. It'll clear a lot of it up to you, those of you that believe in the rapture and stuff like that. It'll clear a lot of it up, because that's where the confusion come in from some of Paul's writings, and I want to clear that up for you. I hope you share this with other people that want to know the true Word of God, and I hope that you'll get one of our books, Start with Wisdom, when it's made available. Just keep listening to this radio show, and you'll know when it's made available. So y'all, appreciate you more than you'll ever know. I love you. Why? Because God loves you, and he loved me so much that he gave us his only son. Until next time, remember, magnify the Lord.
Now you know why today's health update is called the fastest 30 minutes on the radio. Making the right decisions becomes so much easier when you know the truth. If you would like to know more about products, call 256-757-0660. Visit Herbs & More in Athens or NHC Herb Shop in Killen, or visit our website at www.nhcherbs.com. If you would like to hear a show again or share it with someone, go to Herbs & More Athens Facebook page and scroll down to Roy's picture. The shows are uploaded daily. Or go to Podbean on your computer or phone and type NHC19. That's NHC19 in the search bar and scroll down to find the title you wish to listen to. This is Andy Black. Thank you again for listening to today's Health Update.